This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yes, here I am, Alan Gervie, in the house. It's Mother's Day. Wonderful Mother's Day, May the 12th. That is the most important event of the day today, Mother's Day. It's also my birthday, so we'll just salute the mothers today. And if anyone wants to wish me a happy birthday, feel free to do so. I first want to wish my wife, Nancy, a happy Mother's Day. She is a wonderful mother to our two children, Hudson and Harper. And, you know, I'm so proud of Nancy because she had kind of a difficult situation with her mother. Everyone has a different situation with parents. Some are good, some aren't. Situations, that is. And, you know, Nancy had a tough time. And I don't think she minds me saying that. Her mother wasn't necessarily, I would say, the best for a lot of reasons. But she has really been able to just be a great mother, spending a lot of time with our kids and really caring for them and doing everything she can for them when she maybe didn't have that for herself. So for all of you out there who maybe had a different situation, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, and you're able to turn that around. You know, last time we talked about, actually, I don't know when, through the years on Gervie's Life, talked about turning negatives into positives. And you can turn a negative into positive with your relationships. So I sound a little exhausted, and that's because I am exhausted. I just got off an airplane. I was in Toronto, Canada, and it was a bittersweet week. Yes, it's Mother's Day, and this is my first Mother's Day without my mother. First time in my life that I don't have my mother on Mother's Day. She passed away a year ago. And interestingly enough, it was a year ago when she wished me a happy birthday. She sang happy birthday to me. Mother's Day was 2 days later, and she passed away on May 18th, which was 4 days after Mother's Day. So it's a tough time for me, and I will tell you that I'm trying to look at it philosophically, and that's how we should look at everything, I think. My undergraduate degree is in philosophy, and the fact that today is Mother's Day, my first Mother's Day without my mother, and it is my birthday, I think there's something philosophical about it. I studied ontology in college, and there's an ontological aspect of this. And what is ontological meaning? Well, it's the meaning of life. The meaning is a meaning of life. What is life all about, and why is Mother's Day today on my birthday? And it's not always, as we know, it falls on my birthday once in a while, once every few years. And today it is the first time without my mom. So there's got to be some meaning here, and I've been searching for it. I think my whole life I've been searching for meaning, as a lot of people do. And this experience going back to Toronto this past week to clean out my mom's condo and to get it ready for a sale or a rental. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. And I'm thinking, you know, there's so much meaning here. And I studied existentialism, and a lot of people who study existentialism would say maybe there isn't meaning in life, because that's the nature of existentialism, that there is no meaning if you read Sartre and some of the other existentialists. Maybe the meaning is just the experiences that we have. And when I was looking through all of my mom's stuff and packing it, I was thinking of all the experiences that I've had in my life, and that really creates meaning. I don't think it's much deeper than that. It's just the fact that I had so many great times with my mom, with my family, and maybe that's all there is. That's all there is to life. Just experiences, just experiencing good times and bad, and being together and loving each other and caring for each other. and sharing things together. Maybe that's all there is to life. Maybe there's nothing more. I don't know. I had a tough time. I was doing all of this by myself. No one helped me clean out my mom's condo, except I hired a lady who was very nice, and she looked through some of the pictures and some of the stuff, little knickknacks and everything. She called them decor, but I think they were knickknacks. I didn't know what decor was. She was putting things in boxes and writing decor on them. Does anyone know what that means? Decor. So if I looked through the storage unit to find all of the boxes and they just said decor, I would have no clue. But anyway, I'll give you a little bit of the backstory of, you know, why was I alone cleaning out my mom's condo by myself? No one helping me. Why was I alone with her when she passed away? Why was I holding her hand when she took her last breath with no one else in my family around? So it was September 19th in 2022 when I was called to Toronto because she was ill. We didn't know what was wrong with her. And then we found out that there was an infection, and it was a very bad infection, something like a flesh-eating infection, and she was rushed to the hospital. And I rushed to Toronto when I heard that. September 19th is my wife's birthday, and I left on my wife's birthday. It was also the day that I got engaged to my wife, September 19th, and it was also the day that I was scheduled to go into surgery to take my kidney out because they had found a tumor on September 19th. And that was going to happen after I'd gotten engaged. I got off the gurney and got on one knee and proposed to Nancy on her birthday and then went into surgery on September 19th. And when I was in surgery, they were putting me under and the doctor ran in and said, wait, we don't think it's a tumor. They had told me that it spread through my body. And they said, no, it's just a hematoma. The radiologist said that it was blood through my body, a ball of blood that mirrored a tumor. So they didn't put me under, and I went home and went to my room at Cedars, and who was there but my mom sitting waiting for me. She had flown in from Toronto to make sure that I was okay. And we had quite a celebration that day. I shared so many things with my mom throughout her lifetime that I'm very proud of and thankful for. I'd always been close to my mom, very, very close. I used to surprise her with flowers from college. I wouldn't tell her I was coming home. I would take her everywhere. I took my parents to Vegas and to other places. And when my mom turned 80, I took her on a trip around the world on the Queen Mary. We didn't quite make it around the world, but we did a couple legs of that. And we went to Dubai and Hong Kong and Thailand and a number of countries, just the two of us. Although she did meet one of the officers, and he asked me politely if he could take her out one night and take her dancing. And I told him, I said, yeah, you can, Terry, I think his name was, as long as you treat her right. And I was spying. I was in the woods. They weren't woods. They were plants. And I was watching. I was so nervous. And then he was walking her home, this man in uniform. My mom's 80. He was about 40. And he walked her up to her cabin and gave her a little peck on the cheek. And I was like so nervous. My heart was pounding. And then he told her good night, and I just went to sleep and didn't ever tell her that I had been following her like she probably did when I was a kid going out with girls for the first time. But actually on that ship, just a real quick story, I'm going to digress, but we were sitting at a table. There was about 10 of us at the table, and that's where we ate dinner. And at some point there was a couple, and they said during the dinner that someone jumped overboard. And they went and told the captain that, and the whole ship stopped. The Queen Mary, huge ship, it stopped in its tracks and went out on a search party to find the person who jumped overboard. We all had to return to our cabins, and the whole night was wrecked. We missed the entertainment for that night, and the ship turned around, and we were searching for hours and hours and hours. And it was because of the guy beside me
who said that someone jumped overboard. He said to me, did you see it? I said, no, I didn't see anything. I was eating my food. I had some lemon meringue pie at the time that I was eating. And he and his wife said that someone jumped over. Anyway, the whole cruise was ruined for at least a day as they searched for the person. And then the next day we came back and they let us come out of our cabins and they did a count to see no one was missing. And they went through the video. And they slowed down the video and they saw that it was actually a cushion from one of the lounge chairs on the deck that had blown over. And this idiot sitting beside me, who I didn't know, told everyone that it was a body and someone had either, you know, killed himself or was drunk or something fell over. And we lost a whole day and night of our cruise because of that. It was a green cushion that was on top of a lounge chair. But I digress. Anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, my mom. And by the way, my mom was always on this show, Gervie's Law. She was so proud to be Alan Gervie's mother. And I was so proud to have her as a mother. She was so funny and she was witty and made everyone laugh. She had so much to say, even on subjects. And I'm sure I'm getting choked up because I haven't slept. I flew from Toronto at 3 a.m. She had so much to say on subjects that she knew nothing about. I couldn't believe one show we had her on, and our guest did something about edibles, like underwear that you could eat or something. I don't know. It was so weird. I don't know why our producer, who's amazing, Genevieve Wong, got her on the show, this woman. And she was great. She was quite a personality, but it was so embarrassing as she sat, and I'm looking at it was in this studio that I'm in right now, and she sat beside my mom, and I was like cringing as she was talking about all the sexual stuff. And my mom just went with it, and she just like started making jokes and saying, you know, what flavors do they come in? And, you know, she went with it. And I was like, I have to drive home with my mom after this. And, you know, she had been on the show with, you know, Irwin Chemerinsky, and she'd been on a show with other politicians. I think she was on with Brad Sherman, congressman, and other shows. And of course, when she was in town, we had the edible panty lady on. But my mom, you know, she went with it. Nothing seemed to bother her. She always saw the best in people and in things. I think at one point she said, where do I, you know, she's like 85 years old at the time. She said, where do I get a pair, to the lady? Anyway, again, I'm doing a lot of digressing. She was a great guest, and if you look at gervieslaw.com, you can find all our shows from the past 10 years. And if you go to the Mother's Day shows, you can see that my mom was on. Very funny. Even the last time she was on Mother's Day was 2 years ago. And she was on quite a bit on other shows as well. But if you want to hear her, go do that. That would be a great tribute to me, because being so proud of how she went with it. She used to say at the beginning, she'd say she was nervous. And then after a while, she kept saying, I'm getting used to this. I think I'm pretty good now. And I'm like thinking, well, at least she is. I've been doing this for years and I'm still not so good at that. So she was much better on the radio than I'll ever be. And I'm proud of her for that. So getting back to the story, my mom was in the hospital, and the day they took her there, they said that she wasn't going to live past that day. And the doctor said we had to let her go. And I just refused to do that. I didn't know any better. And I said, put her on antibiotics. And, you know, this went on for a long time. And for those of you who were listening to the show, I stopped doing the show and I was living in Toronto. My mom fought so hard. She was finally released from the hospital after everyone said that there's no way she was going to beat this infection. She was in a coma. She got back home, although they had her in assisted living, and she fought and fought and fought, and I fought and fought and fought, and, you know, my family wasn't on the same page. I don't know if your families have ever faced situations where you have to make some decisions, and, you know, I wasn't being selfish, although I was accused of it by my family, but I really believe my mom wanted to live. She had such a spirit about her, a fighting spirit, and she had some good moments. She went home and lived for another 8 or 9 months before she finally ultimately passed away. But during that time, it was hard. But, you know, we shared a lot of great experiences that I'll never forget. You know, spending time together, we went out. Even when she was sick, we went and partied. So I believe that she really wanted to live. And I don't know the answers. But it alienated myself from my family. No one really wanted to deal with me because I was taking care of my mom, and you know, people had different opinions about it. And on May 12th last year, 1 year ago, she sang happy birthday to me. I was in LA celebrating my birthday. It was 2 days before Mother's Day, and she sang happy birthday to me, and I still have that video that was sent from the hospital. And then on May 14th, Mother's Day of last year, I flew to Toronto so I could be with her on Mother's Day. And she was alert and talking to me. And then the next day, May 15th, she started to fade away and never spoke to her again. And for 3 days from May 15th to the 18th, I sat by her bedside holding her hand, and watching her as she left this world. And I did it myself. That was what I believed was the right thing to do. And there was a doctor in the hospital that came up to me and said, she was with you when you were brought into the world, and it's such a blessing that you're with her as she's leaving the world. And then, you know, over the last while, I've taking care of everything with respect to all the arrangements and everything that's needed to be done for the funeral. And it's been hard. It's been really hard. And it's hard to think about what I've gone through, especially since I haven't slept in the last 24 hours flying back to LA to be here for my birthday and for Mother's Day for my children and my wife. And now we have a dispute over the estate, which isn't a large estate. There isn't much to it, but I don't know if you've experienced that. I don't know if anyone, you know, the more I talk about it, the more I find that siblings sometimes, you know, just can't see eye to eye. And it's really sad because my mother would be so pained on this Mother's Day to know what's gone on with her kids. She never saw it that way at all. But, you know, I'm thankful that my brother and I have been on the same page, and, you know, and I was able to spend time with him, and I appreciate that. I can't say the same with my sister, unfortunately. So for the last 3 days, I was in this condo cleaning up, packing up, all kinds of crazy things happening. The real estate agent, I don't know anyone in Toronto, so the real estate agent set up a moving situation for me. And it was the day before before I was coming back, and the movers were supposed to come at 2 p.m. And I, you know, my flight out of Toronto was at 6 in the morning. So at 2 o'clock, this guy shows up, and I swear he has a pickup truck, and in the back of the pickup truck is all tools. He's like a handyman, and the real estate agent hired a handyman to take all, there was like 25, 30 boxes, a little bit of furniture, not a lot. And the guy said, I can't fit one box. I said, so why did you come here? You came in a pickup truck, and in the back of the pickup truck are all these tools. And he said, well, the agent told me to come because there was a couple of boxes to carry. I said, where were you going to put the boxes? And it was raining out. He couldn't put them on the roof. So fortunately, they called another guy who came and who didn't have much of a truck. It was a trailer. It was like a, you know, a camping trailer. The guy looked like he was going camping. But he had a couple of friends with him, and they stuffed a bunch of stuff in the trailer and took it to the storage unit. And I'll tell you a pretty crazy story. And I don't know if this would happen in the United States or not. I really don't. But think about this. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know what your opinion is. So they took the stuff to the storage unit that I had rented to put in, and transfer worked out okay. We got the stuff in, and they told me how much it was. It, you know, it wasn't terribly expensive, and I gave them the money, And I said, thank you very much. I gave them a tip. And they left, and I left. And then I was in the bathroom in the storage unit, and one of the guys came up to me, one of the movers who had already left, but he came back looking for me. He came into the bathroom because the guy at the front of the storage unit said, I think he's in the bathroom. And I was just washing my hands, and he came up to me and he said, here's $50. I said, what for? He says, I think you gave us too much money. And he gave me a $50 back. And I was like, is this really happening? And yeah, I guess certain Canadians, I'm not saying all of them, but how honest is that? I would have never known. I didn't have a clue. But he came looking for me to give me the $50 back. I should say the name of the place, because it's really incredible what kind of service and honesty and integrity. And I don't even remember the name. I think it's called Duke's Removal. So if you're in Toronto and you need something moved or picked up or thrown away, Duke's Removal is an amazing company with the most honest people who came and found me in the bathroom to give me $50 back, which I would have never known about. And I kind of looked and I said, this wouldn't happen. This wouldn't happen. And then, by the way, as I was leaving, there was a big lineup of cars and I thought, oh, a lot of traffic. And then when I realized, I stopped and there was a duck and a few little baby ducks walking across the street and everyone was stopped. No one would move. And then someone from a car came and the ducks couldn't get off the road and he picked up the little baby ducks and put them on the side of the street so they were safe. And I'm like, wow, I'm not in the United States anymore. So what does this all mean? You know, I loved my mom so much. I would do anything for her. And I did all this for her, and I'll continue to do it until the resolution of the estate. I'll do everything because of the love that I had for my mother. And even though she's not here, it still is really important to me in her name to do everything. And I don't care about the stress I have. I don't care about not sleeping, the inconvenience, flying to Toronto, and all the expenses. See, the money is really expensive. It's all coming out of my pocket because there's no money in the estate and there's a condo that needs to be sold and I'm doing everything because my mom was the most amazing person in the world. The person that was so supportive of me would do anything for me and I'll do anything for her even though she's not alive anymore. She was so smart and so caring and so loving. She always did things for me. She baked cakes for me. She baked for everyone. She didn't care who it was. She met someone on the street and baked them a cake. She gave people the benefit of the doubt. And she was really someone who just was a real genuine human being. And I love that about her. And as much as I've gone through so many problems with her death and aftermath, I'm dedicated to my mom. And whatever it means, even though she's not around anymore. On this Mother's Day, the first one without my mom, and on my birthday, to me, the meaning of life is pretty clear. It's very clear. You need to love people as much as you possibly can. Put all of your insecurities to the side. Put everything behind you. And just show love like a mother shows to their child. It's so important. I think if you're supportive, and you don't have to be a mother, just anyone, just be supportive. Life is not long, and when it's gone, it's gone. You know, with me, I made a lot of dumb decisions, really bad decisions, and my mom was there for me. She supported me, even though I think I did the wrong thing, but she never made me feel like it was a dumb decision. She always was able to show, well, you did it for a reason. And don't be so hard on yourself. So let's not be so hard on ourselves. Let's try to think about caring and loving and putting differences aside. I know it's so hard. I know we all have insecurities and we all have egos. And it's so hard to put things aside. But why can't we just try to put things aside? Do the things you don't want to do. I didn't want to go to Toronto and do it. I hated it. But I did it. I did it for my mom. I did it for myself. And it wasn't easy. Finally, cherish all of the experiences that you have with your family. Just think of that. That's all you're going to have. That's the meaning of life. The experiences that you have with your friends and family. There's nothing more to it. I'm sorry that I can't give you a magic philosophical formula, even though I was a philosophy major in college. So just try to make the best of things. Try to put your anger aside. Try to swallow hard and think of a mother's love for a child. My mom was the best, and I love her so much. And I miss her so much. But I have my family, my wife, Nancy, and my kids, Hudson and Harper. And hopefully her legacy, my mom's legacy on this first Mother's Day without her, on my birthday, will live on and on with love and caring in all of our hearts. Have a great Mother's Day, and we'll see you next week right here on Gervie's Law. Thanks for listening.
Someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.